Hello there, and you're very welcome to Poem of the Week. Hello, I'm Morgan O'Reilly, and once again, you're very welcome to Poem of the Week. Each week, we will be celebrating poetry, both new and old, Irish and international, and published and unpublished work, alongside a significant date in our calendar. This week's poem is Still I Rise by Maya Angelou, read now by Sarah Bennett.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? 'Cause I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns, with the certainty of tides, just like hope springing high, still I'll rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries. Does my haughtiness offend you? Don't you take it awful hard, 'cause I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words, you may cut me with your eyes, you may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I'll rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past that's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I rise, I rise, I rise.
Still I Rise by Maya Angelou, read there wonderfully by Sarah Bennett, and I'm delighted to be joined by Sarah now in Fighting Words and Bean Square, Russell Street, right in, just outside the centre of Dublin, and Sarah is the manager of Fighting Words here. Thank you very much for letting me in here today, Sarah.
Oh, it's great to see you again, Morgan.
Sarah, tell us a little bit about this poem, Still I Rise by Maya Angelou. What made you choose it?
Well, it's one of her iconic works. It was, I think, from the late 1970s, and I first came across it actually hearing her perform it. So what a privilege to be able to share it. No, I didn't see, but I saw her, it must have been on television.
Yeah.
But I first came across the poem by hearing it read as opposed to reading it.
Oh, wonderful, yeah, wonderful.
And wow, if I could channel even a tiny bit of her voice, I mean, what a privilege. Because it's just wonderful.
Yeah. It's kind of, yeah, we're dealing with two iconic figures in American history, particularly Black American history today. We are reading Still I Rise to mark Martin Luther King Jr. Day in January, which marks his birthday. And then, of course, the poem itself is Maya Angelou. Can you give us just a little bit? I mean, you're American yourself.
I am.
I mean, for us across the water, we might have heard of their names, but what do these figures mean, I suppose, in American cultural spheres and social spheres?
Well, titans of the civil rights movement of the 1960s, in the case of Maya Angelou, active right through my lifetime. So I was born in 1972, so Dr. King was assassinated 4 years before I was born. Maya Angelou was active as a public figure from the 50s, but right on through my lifetime. I believe she died about 4 years ago.
Yeah, very recently. Yeah, yeah.
So by the time I was in secondary school and in university, she was part of the canon of contemporary American literature, both as a poet and as as a writer, as well as an activist.
Yeah.
And Dr. King was, I think, has fully become the kind of national hero, for want of a better word, iconic figure, one of the most important Americans who's ever lived, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
By the time you got into high school, mm-hmm. you were getting into high school kind of late 80s, early 90s, mm-hmm. in university then, was Dr. King, was he already, you know, reaching that height?
Absolutely. I can't remember a time when he wasn't viewed in that way.
Because we were chatting off air, and yeah. we were saying, you know, that he wasn't exactly hugely popular during his lifetime, and even some of the American states were kind of slow to adapt the national holiday.
Very much so. The national holiday, it became a federal holiday in 1986 when I was 14, so I remember that. But some of the southern states and western states were certainly very slow to adopt that. Dr. King was always a hero in the African-American community, and generally speaking, you know, but he was not non-controversial, I think, whereas now he's universally accepted for the wonderful and important work that he did. That was not always the case, and sure, he was an agent of change, and that's never, you know, people are slow to change, so there can be a lot of resistance to that, as we saw during the civil rights movement, and ultimately, you know, that's why he was assassinated. But for me, his assassination, I think, was one of the, or reading about or learning about his assassination as a child, I think, was one of the first times I became aware of injustice in the world, because he was killed for what he believed in, and also part of when you're a child growing up in the United States is always presented as the best country in the world, as patriotism is very important. I'm slow to use the word indoctrinated, but you definitely have a sense. You sing patriotic songs in the morning, you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah. So learning about civil rights and the deep and long-standing injustice to the African-American community was, for me, beginning to learn that narrative that's presented to you as a small child, that the United States is a far more complicated and complex place. While everyone is created equal, as is in the Declaration of Independence, it's certainly not been the history of the nation that everyone has been treated equally. So
yeah. Was there, I mean, not this poem in particular, mm-hmm. but was there any kind of moment when you were in high school or middle school when you recall seeing a broadcast on TV, mm-hmm. or reading a particular tract or anything like that that really drove that point home for you?
I think that I grew up in a small town in New England, very monocultural. There were only two or three African American kids in my high school. I was raised in a Republican family, in the American sense, conservative family. So when I was 15 or 16, and coming across things like my high school textbook, literature textbook, that had the I Have a Dream speech, that had not this Maya Angelou poem, but an excerpt of I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, that I began to realize that those values or that political viewpoint that I did not share that. And it was around that time, Tiananmen Square, thing. That's when, I registered to vote as a Democrat. And in fact, as an example of how small the town was, and how well known my family was in the town, the town clerk asked me if I was sure, because, and I assured her that I was. But I joined Amnesty International around that time, started taking an active interest in reading the news and the newspapers and magazines and things like that, and learning for myself. And I think that learning about the civil rights movement had a lot to do with that. And of course, at that time in the late 80s, that's also around the time of the fall of the Berlin Wall, the collapse of communism, that kind of thing. So,
I think it's wonderful on the back of literature, you just start
educating
yourself and becoming politically aware and sort of an awakening.
So I remember around the time that I would have been reading that stuff, there was a film, Mississippi Burning, came out around that time as
William
well.
William Defoe and Gene Hackman.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've seen it a couple of times since, watched it with my daughter, who's now around the same age that I would have been then, and it's still powerfully affecting. So reading and learning about the civil rights movement had a lot to do with my own kind of political awakening. And certainly this poem really resonates with me, you know, as a feminist, and I would have started identifying as a feminist around that time as well. And while the poem, I think this poem is part of the reason why it is so wonderful, is that it works on both a macro and a micro level. The lines there, did you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops weakened by my soulful cries? You know, I was a victim of some pretty serious bullying when I was kind of late primary school. And I remember when I first saw this performed, you know, heard Maya Angelou read it and then read it myself, that really resonated with me, because, you know, you can relate to it on in so many different ways.
Sarah, manager of Fighting Words, thank you very much for inviting me into the center here today.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Before I let you go, I'm sitting here in a beautiful room, lots of colors, bookshelves surrounding me everywhere. Can you just give us a little bit of information about Fighting Words itself?
Sure. Fighting Words is the creative writing center for children and young people. We are co-founded by Roddy Doyle. We offer free programs to primary and secondary school students during the school year, and free summer camps during July and August. We operate not only here in Dublin at our dedicated center, but we have locations in Wicklow and Belfast, and we also run programs with partner organizations in Cork, Galway, and Mayo. So if you like working with children in a creative environment and you don't need any previous experience, you can volunteer with us. All the information is on fightingwords.ie.
Martin Luther King was an American Baptist minister and activist who became the most visible spokesperson and leader in the American Civil Rights Movement. King was assassinated on April 4th, 1968, and it was just days after that Congress passed the Civil Rights Act of 1968. The legislation was seen as a tribute to King's struggle, and his activism was to have a ripple effect on civil rights and racial equality internationally, even stretching as far as Ireland, with the politician John Hume citing King's legacy as quintessential to the Northern Irish civil rights movement and the signing of the Good Friday Agreement. That's it from us for this week. A big thank you to this week's contributor, our production team and everyone at Near FM, and also to Paula Meehan for her advice and support on this series. Join us next time for Poem of the Week. Good luck and God bless.
Nearcast.
Nearcast, your community podcast network. Listen to podcasts about society, people, poetry, board games, and many other topics. Subscribe to a program today. Learn more at nearcast.ie and find out how you can get involved.